Dr. Helen Caldicott is a KBOO supporter. Let's hear what she has to say about community radio.
Well, I think it's extremely important because how else are the public going to hear the truth and hear about controversial issues? The media in general do not talk about the things that threaten all of us, which are nuclear war and nuclear power. And they're leading us like lemmings towards mutually assured destruction, and most of us remain ignorant. It's like we're all sipping at the Pentagon Kool-Aid vat like they did in Guyana, committing suicide in a state of total ignorance and apathy. And that, therefore, I would support KBOO, and I would say that if you really want to know what's going on in your world, it would be imperative that you support KBOO, and I wish to hell that the other media stations would do what they should be doing, which is educating the public, and they can perform a tremendous media service, and you're doing that.
2 years ago, Portland lost a musical and cultural icon with the passing of Ghanaian master drummer, bandleader, and teacher Obo Adi. His contribution to the raising of local knowledge and appreciation of African music in general, and Ghanaian music in particular, and his tireless work with local youth cannot be overstated. As part of our fall membership drive, KBOO is proud to present a celebration and retrospective of Obo's work on Thursday, October 2nd, from 1 until 4 p.m. Musical offerings, remembrances, and interviews will be part of this important figure's legacy. Join Andy Hosh and DJ Charlie and others at 1 p.m. on Thursday, October 2nd. The preceding hour, from noon until 1 p.m., will be filled with Ghanaian music as part of DJ Charlie's regular World Beat Connection time slot. See you then.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, former Oregon State student Mohammed Mohamud is sentenced to 30 years in prison for an attempted bombing set up by the FBI.
Complaints of racial discrimination at the Swan Island Daimler Chrysler plant are filed.
And we interview Detroit water activist Miko Williams.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 1st, 2014. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member right now by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. The man convicted of a plot to bomb the 2010 Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland has been sentenced to 30 years in prison. Mohammed Osman Mohamud, a then 18-year-old Oregon State student, was approached by FBI agents who claimed to be Al-Qaeda agents, who convinced him to detonate a car bomb at the crowded holiday ceremony in Pioneer Square. Mohamud, who was 19 years old at the time, was approached by the FBI agents after writing an article about physical fitness for a jihadi magazine under a pseudonym. The agents took him to a remote site and had him detonate a test bomb, and then supplied him with the fake car bomb. Mohamud's trial was highly controversial because of the degree to which FBI agents guided the teen to commit the crime. The government also used evidence from warrantless wiretaps and was alleged to have withheld evidence from the defense that could have helped show that Mohamud was manipulated into the plot, according to Mohamud's father. Before the sentencing, Mohamud apologized to the community in general and the Muslim community in particular for his actions.
The state of Oregon has opened an investigation into racial discrimination at the Daimler Chrysler Trucks plant in Portland. The investigation stems from five employees of color who said they were harassed and threatened repeatedly at the company's plant on Swan Island. Oregon Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian lodged the complaint today on behalf of the workers. The complaint triggers an investigation. If found liable, Daimler Chrysler could face criminal penalties. The complaint alleges that employees were harassed over a period of decades, subjected to racist slurs, and referred to as boy. One black worker alleges that a fellow employee met him in a parking lot carrying a noose and threatened to tie him up and drag him behind his truck. Another black employee alleges that other employees wrote slurs in prominent places where he would have to clean them up. The employees said they reported incidences to management but were ignored. The harassment, in fact, became more frequent after they complained. Daimler Chrysler has been the subject of 30 civil rights complaints in the state since 2002.
Portland industries who support a $15 an hour minimum wage are currently out in front of City Hall for a rally. The protesters are highlighting city workers and contract workers as the 15 Now movement in Portland continues to pressure city commissioners to raise the minimum wage. During the rally, a delegation went into City Hall to deliver invitations to the commissioners to attend an October 20th community hearing on the City of Portland's fair wage policy. Portland's fair wage policy sets the minimum wage for workers at companies that contract with the city. That wage is currently $10.38. At the October 20th hearing, affected contract workers and other city workers will give testimony on why the current fair wage policy is inadequate and changes to the policy that will be presented to attending commissioners and the city at large. For more, we are joined on the line by KBOO labor reporter and organizer Jamie Partridge. Jamie, are you there?
I am.
Jamie, what's the scene right now at City Hall?
We're out in front of City Hall with a couple dozen demonstrators. The delegation has come down and reported about giving invitations to the city commissioners and the mayor, and I'm going to give you to Seamus Cook, who is part of the delegation. Hello?
Yes, Jamie, what happened when the protesters brought the demands inside to the city officials?
Well, we didn't talk to any city officials, actually. They were in session, we were told. We gave invites to them for our community hearing on October 20th, where we're going to have people talking about the low-wage ordinance. So we're hoping to have all of them in attendance so they can hear from the community about why it's important to have a living wage.
Jamie, can you actually speak to that a little bit? Why the push now for a $15 minimum wage?
Why in general?
Yes, why in general and why at this particular time?
Well, I'd say, you know, this is a nationwide demand. You know, it's happening all over the country, and Oregon is kind of late to the game. But I think it's, you know, everybody agrees $15 is a living wage, and that's what we're insisting upon.
And we've heard from other sources that opponents say the increasing minimum wage would result in a loss of jobs and the potential shutdowns of some small businesses. Is there any validity to that argument in the protesters' eyes?
Well, I mean, that argument, there's no foundation for that argument. It's a right-wing argument with zero data backing it. All over the country, whenever there's been a raise in the wage, there's been no loss of jobs. SeaTac Washington has been under $15 an hour for the past year. There's been no problems there. So it's happening in San Francisco and Seattle as well. So that's just a kind of made-up argument.
What will be the next steps for the movement?
Well, right now we're demanding a low-wage ordinance in Portland that says every city contractor that is going to make $15 an hour. We hope to expand that to all city workers. We're also working on the statewide level to get a statewide ballot initiative passed.
And if listeners want to get some more information regarding the $15 an hour movement, where can they turn to?
We have a website, 15nowpdx.org is the best way probably. We have a lot of events coming up. October 20th at SEIU 49 Hall, we have a living wage community hearing, and that's also a good place to plug in.
All right, Jamie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Jamie Partridge live from outside of Portland's City Hall.
KBOO volunteer.
All right.
We are joined on the line now by Stephen Wax, who is one of the attorneys for Mohammed Mohammed, who was sentenced today to 30 years in prison. Not the result that you were hoping for, I'm sure, as you had put in an argument that he should receive 10 years. Can you give us your thoughts on this day of the sentencing?
We were disappointed in the length of the sentence. We do not see that it is necessary for any of the purposes of sentencing. Mr. Muhammad, we believe, has shown the sincerity of and extent of his remorse and his desire to atone by the assistance that he has provided to the government and that he's offered to provide them.
And is there any possibility of early release, of parole?
No, under the federal system, there is no parole. He will receive credit for the nearly 4 years that he has spent in prison. And under the current law, he could receive good time credits of somewhere between 3 and 4 years.
And the sentence then is set. Is there any type of appeal of the original charge?
Absolutely. We will be appealing the verdict. There are a number of very substantial issues regarding the handling of the classified evidence during the course of the case, the fact that we were not allowed to know the identities of the undercover operatives who interacted with Muhammad. There were a number of other quite significant issues that we will be challenging on appeal. Best estimate is it's going to take several years before the appellate process works its way out.
And your argument at the time of his trial that ended in January 2013 was that he was entrapped by government agents. Is that something that you would still hold? Is that going to make any impact in the appeals process?
Well, I anticipate that one of the issues will involve the instruction on entrapment that the court gave to the jury. We believe that the way that was handled was not correct, and we hope that the appellate court agrees with us. The result, if they do, would be a new trial with what we would consider to be a more proper instruction.
And what about the misuse of government surveillance or government surveillance tapes that were not made available to you? I understand that was an issue as well.
So, indeed. I mean, when I said that I anticipate that we will be challenging the rulings on the handling of classified evidence, that includes a host of issues that we argued during the course of the pretrial phase of the case and during the trial itself.
Well, thank you so much. Again, we will continue to follow this case on KABU Community Radio, as we did during the trial of Muhammad, an 18-year-old who was charged and then convicted and now sentenced for a conspiracy to blow up a Christmas tree lighting ceremony in 2010 in Portland. Thank you so much for joining us today, Stephen Wax.
Thank you for your interest.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KABU News.
KABU volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Kristen and David to talk about how you can support KABU Community Radio.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Thanks for your dedicated volunteerism.
Is that better?
So we're here to tell you that it's our fall membership and fundraising drive. I'm Kristen.
I'm David.
And we want you to call right now to support your local KABU News. It's 877-500-5266.
That's 877-500-5266. You can also find us online at kboo.fm. And we're asking for, well, whatever you think you can afford. The basic KABU membership remains at $40 for 1 year. If you can think about it a little bit more, maybe you can come through for, say, 25 cents a day. Every day of the week, could you put a quarter in a jar and make that contribution to KABU? That'd be a $90 membership for a full year. We'd love to have you on board. Your contributions allow volunteers like Aaron and Brian and Kristen and myself to do the work that we do down here at KABU. We're not getting paid for this. We do it because we believe in getting these stories and this information out to you. We believe in community radio. Your contributions facilitate our work, allow us to go out in the field with tape recorders and microphones, allow us to get feeds from other places and to call people around the country and around the city and get those stories. And Aaron, what are some of these wonderful stories? Kristen, what are some of these wonderful stories we've been using?
Well, some of the things that we covered, we were currently covering the fight for $15 an hour minimum wage increase statewide. We're also talking about groups like ALEC and the Koch brothers who think it's their place to undermine the democratic process in the United States. Other than the local things that we cover here, we also check in with Jim Hightower, like Erd A. So that's good.
And earlier this year, I believe KBOO News exposed a practice of estate reclamation that was used by the state to take away the homes of Medicaid recipients between the ages of 55 and 65. After we broke the story, other outlets began to pick it up, and the state agency involved announced they were going to stop this policy. Your work, your contributions allow us to go out and do these stories, allow us to be effective news organization. But we can't do it without your financial support. We do need your help.
And you can become a member by giving a small contribution each month. It's a great way to support us. It's painless. You sign up one time, like tonight, and we take out the initial contribution. And then every month, just that little bit more comes right out of your checking account. Super easy.
Right.
Like, you don't even have to think about it.
So
totally
say,
painless.
If you think, oh, I could give $5 a month over the course of the year, but I don't want to remember to send it in all the time or write the checks, not a problem. It can come directly out of your bank account into KBOO's. And to be honest with you, having these regular memberships and these sort of sustaining memberships helps us budget where we're going over the course of the year. So if that's something that works for you, please call 877-500-5266 and make that contribution today.
Just like Taggart did. Taggart from Portland, he took away this fantastic climate change action package that we have. He's a renewing member. Thank you so much, Taggart.
That's right. If you want to get that fantastic package, just call 877-500-5266. Tell the volunteer that answers the phone, say, I want to know about the climate change action packet.
There's a lot to know. There are so many things inside the climate action package.
It's huge. It can be yours, $15 a month. You can spread it out over the whole year. Maybe you're making $15 an hour or more, and this is just 1 hour of your wages every month to community radio. 877-500-5266. Those are the numbers we're asking you to call to make your financial contribution, your support known for community radio. Can't do it without your help.
TriMet workers and the transit company have reached a labor agreement, avoiding another round of arbitration. The agreement between TriMet and the Amalgamated Transit Union 757, which represents 2,000 TriMet employees, came last night after 45 bargaining sessions. The labor agreement would run until 2016, but further terms of the contract were not released. TriMet has declared an impasse in negotiations in May, resulting in the dispute being heard by state arbitrators for a winner take all binding resolution. The agreement also resolves a dispute brought by the ATU over health care costs they said were not honored in their last contract. The new labor contract must go before the union as well as TriMet's board for a vote in order to be approved.
Portland Commissioner Amanda Fritz returned to City Council today, 1 week after the death of her husband, Dr. Steve Fritz, in a car accident on I-5 outside of Salem. A public memorial was held for Fritz in Portland on Sunday night. At City Hall today, Portland developer Mark Edlin was confirmed by City Council as the new head of the Portland Development Commission. Edlin was appointed by Mayor Charlie Hales and is the CEO of major development firm Girding Edlin. Critics of the move had pointed out that as head of his own development firm and a major player in city development, Edlin's work could stray into conflicts of interest. Prior to the vote, Hales read from Girding Edlin promotional literature and suggested it should be the mission statement of the PDC.
African farmers and agricultural leaders are planning an assembly later this month in Seattle to challenge the Gates Foundation on their home turf. Visiting leaders from Africa will speak about how philanthropists like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation claim to be pro-poor and pro-environment, but are promoting industrial farming, inappropriate technologies, and pro-corporate policies. The farm leaders say that these types of charity actually make things worse for small-scale farmers, the hungry, and the environment around the globe. The African farmers are fighting for what they call food sovereignty, the right of all people everywhere to control their food systems and access local foods. For more, KBOO's Jenka Soderberg spoke with Matt Canfield of AgriWatch.
What is the Gates Foundation agricultural agenda? I know Bill Gates has been getting involved in geoengineering and promoting that. What is his or the Gates Foundation's involvement in agriculture?
Well, in 2006, the Gates Foundation funded AGRA, which advocates for another green revolution in Africa. It's the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa. And, you know, we already know that the green revolution of the 1970s, of the 1980s, had wreaked havoc, really. So now they're funding millions of dollars towards Africa, focused really on transforming smallholder African agricultural systems through biotechnology, through GMOs, which we already have in the States, and we have seen their really horrific effects.
Well, proponents of these genetic modifications say that there's no scientific evidence that there are adverse effects. What are some of the impacts of genetically modified crops on agriculture?
The whole push is transforming smallholder African agriculture, which feeds 80% of the continent right now, and replacing that with a form of agriculture that is highly dependent on petroleum-based inputs, on inorganic fertilizers, on chemicals that farmers will then be reliant on purchasing. In India, we saw the effects of this, that it created this treadmill that farmers just couldn't keep up. And today, there's the cruel irony that tens of thousands of Indian farmers are committing suicides with the very pesticides that they are reliant on because of this type of agriculture. So that's one effect. Another effect is that biotechnology promotes a vision of monoculture agriculture, and that is really harmful for the biodiverse systems that African farmers already use. So one, this really has an effect on limiting our global food security because we have fewer crops available and fewer varieties. But it also pushes our agriculture and our food system in the hands of fewer and fewer corporations.
So your group and several other groups are bringing some African leaders who are part of this movement for agricultural justice in Africa to Seattle for a town hall meeting. What do you hope to accomplish at that event on October 12th?
Well, the first thing that we're doing is we're bringing 20 different U.S.-based food sovereignty organizations together with 10 different agricultural food sovereignty leaders from Africa to start building a network that we can communicate, that we can start to work on this together. On October 12th, we're having a big event at Town Hall where we'll have three speakers from the African continent, real leaders of farmers throughout the continent, who are going to be talking about the Gates Foundation, who will be talking about agroecology and alternative solutions. And what we're hoping is that we build a constituency here in Seattle that wants to hold the Gates Foundation accountable. You know, recently they made a $5.6 million grant to the Cornell University to promote biotechnology and GMOs. We need people here where the Gates Foundation is based to hold them accountable for the types of grants, for the things that they say that they're doing, and to make sure that they're actually supporting solutions that are going to make a more climate resilient and more equitable world.
Again, I've been speaking with Matt Canfield. He is with AgriWatch. This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
Boeing announced yesterday that it will eliminate 2,000 engineering jobs in the Puget Sound and relocate them to Missouri and Oklahoma. The jobs would be cut from the firm's defense division. The move comes almost a year after Washington state lawmakers approved the largest corporate tax break package in U.S. history, saving the aerospace giants some $8.7 billion. Today, unions representing Boeing workers criticized the leaders who made the deal, saying the tax breaks, which kept Boeing's 777X program in the state, should have been tied to employment numbers. Boeing said it would move 1,000 defense engineering jobs to Southern California in April. Boeing has said it will offer the laid-off engineers jobs in its commercial division, if there are openings, as well as job search help and counseling. You are are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or to become a brand new member at any time during this program simply by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Treasures from the KBOO Archives at 6. Tonight we feature a 1994 talk by environmental activist and agitator Judy Berry about the counterintelligence program of the U.S. government that targeted activists throughout the 1970s and 80s. Judy Berry was a fighter and organizer for social and environmental justice. The common denominator in all the causes she fought for was her indignation over injustice, whether in the form of racism, sexism, political repression, economic exploitation, or ecological destruction. At 7 o'clock, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather should be mostly sunny with a high of 73 and a low of 56. Today in history, on October 1st in 1890, Yosemite National Park was established by Congress. In 1946, sentences were delivered at the Nuremberg trials, which prosecuted captured political and military leaders of Nazi Germany. And in 1964, the free speech movement was established on the campus of UC Berkeley. Today's quote comes from Tim O'Brien, author of The Things They Carried, who turns 68 today. He says, "Fiction is the lie that helps us understand the truth."
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us are Kristen and David once again to talk a little bit more about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Well, you can support Community Radio today by making a financial contribution. We're asking for just a little bit of your hard-earned money. How much you give is entirely up to you. What do you think KBOO is worth to you in your life? How often do you listen? You're tuned in right now to the KBOO News. Understand the value of the KBOO News. Call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266 to make your contribution to KBOO today. KBOO's daily volunteer-produced newscast provides a platform for oppressed, underserved and minority communities to share their news stories that are impacting their communities.
You know, we're the only newscast that provides a weekly report on Portland City Council meetings, as well as regular reports on the Beaverton, Hillsborough, Clackamas County, and Metro regional governments.
Our reports on the Oregon State Legislature are some of the only reports you'll hear on the air about the laws being passed that impact all of our lives. This is community radio, folks. We try to bring back to you those things that will affect your lives directly. And then we also go out and about and bring in stories from around the world to bring you that information as well. These are stories that impact your lives. This is information that helps you become a more effective actor in the world around you. You support the work of all the volunteers of the whole station by making a contribution today in our membership drive. 877-500-5266. That is the number we're asking you to call today.
Yes, today, now, as in right now, media consolidation is at an all-time high. Local news shows like KBOO, you just don't find them really like you used to. Even in Portland, which is, you know, kind of progressive, we pride ourselves on that here in the Cascadia bioregion. But yet, you know, five companies, Entercom, CBS, Clear Channel, Salem Communications, and Bustos Media own the majority of our media outlets. That's what makes KBOO so important. We're not motivated by money. We're not motivated by the almighty dollar. We cannot be purchased. But we need support to keep our lights on, to keep our bills paid. And that's where you come in. Please reach to your phone right now and call 877-500-5266.
You know, all those other news and media outlets, Kristen, they go about it indirectly. They make you sit through commercials. They try to sell you soap and automobiles and candy bars and all sorts of enhanced little things like that. And you got to sit through all these commercials in order to get the information you want. Here at KBOO, we don't beat around the bush. We tell you that, hey, it costs about, oh, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, a few hundred thousand dollars a year to keep a radio station on the air. And we need your support. What are our expenses? Oh, yeah, it's about $2,150 a day to keep KBOO on the air is what it costs. And we get that money directly from our listeners. We don't have commercials. You're not going to find us here telling you what deodorant you need to use to make your life better. That's a fiction that doesn't help sell the truth. But we are giving you information that we think here at KBOO is valuable and hopefully help you lead a more effective life. You can support us now with your contribution, be it $5 a month, $10 a month, maybe just a single contribution of $40 for a year. You can call 877-500-5266, or you're welcome to join us. Come down to the studios, 20 Southeast 8th, between Burnside and Ankeny on Southeast 8th. We'll give you a tour of the studio. We'll give you a bumper sticker maybe for your backpack, your car, your bicycle, your Segway, whatever you got.
Segway. Yeah. So, you know, KBOO provides a lifeline to real news about real issues reported on by real people. We have issues that we want to investigate, and KBOO News Department encourages us to go after the stories that impact our lives. And it's so important. That's an actual lifeline with two actual people and their daily struggles, what we're facing. It's not a lot of fluff stories about Hollywood superstars that are... Those stories are engineered to sell you products. We're reporting on the issues and the events that matter to you. You might listen to OPB. You might have your alternative news sources on the internet. But KBOO laid the foundation for that. We have been reporting from this station for a long time. I don't know how long the news has been on, but we are the foundation of the alternate media
here in the Portland area.
And definitely,
without your contributions, it makes it very difficult for the volunteers to do their work. Your contributions allow us to have satellite downlinks. Your contributions allow the reporters to go out and record speeches out of the public in the Portland area so we can bring those speeches to you. Your contribution allows them to go out with tape recorders into the field, like we heard the story from Jamie Partridge in front of the City Hall this afternoon. Your financial support facilitates the work of hundreds of volunteers here at Community Radio KBOO. 877-500-5266. Your voices, your dollars help keep the voices going. 877-500-5266.
Yeah, who brings you the voices of Portland's homeless straight from the streets to the airwaves?
KBOO News.
Who provided you with the voice of postal workers standing on the picket line to challenge the privatization of the mail system?
KBOO News.
Who covers the real issues behind important local legislation?
KBOO News.
That's right, it's KBOO News. So call now, right now, 877-500-5266. You know, we work so hard here. Why don't you get involved?
The head of the Secret Service, Julia Pearson, has resigned following revelations of two serious security lapses by the agency. Yesterday, it was revealed that an armed Iraqi war vet who jumped the fence to the White House had made it further into the White House than had been previously reported. Omar Gonzalez pled not guilty today to federal charges of entering a restricted area with a weapon. He was armed with a knife when he entered the White House on September 19th. Yesterday, it was also revealed that the Secret Service allowed a security contractor with a felony conviction who was armed with a gun to ride in an elevator with the president. Pearson announced her resignation in a meeting with Homeland Security Director Jay Johnson this afternoon. Joseph Clancy, a former agent for the Presidential Protective Division of the Secret Service, was appointed acting director by Johnson.
At least five Texas children are being examined after they came into contact with the man confirmed as the first American case of Ebola virus and are under observation in Dallas, Texas. The children were potentially exposed to Ebola by Eric Duncan, a Liberian man who became sick with the disease after arriving in America. Duncan showed no symptoms of Ebola while traveling from Monrovia, Liberia to Dallas, Texas, and did not expose passengers on the plane to the disease. Duncan became ill after the flight and is currently being kept in isolation to prevent the disease from spreading. The Ebola outbreak has devastated Liberia and the entire region of West Africa, where it has killed more than 3,000 and sickened many more. In Monrovia, the capital of Liberia, fewer than 20% of Ebola patients are able to get into medical clinics, resulting in more deaths and a greater risk of spreading the disease.
A man convicted of manslaughter for shooting into a vehicle and killing an unarmed black teen in Florida has been convicted of first-degree murder at his retrial. Michael Dunn, who is white, shot and killed 17-year-old Jordan Davis in 2012 after a dispute over the volume of Davis's car stereo outside a Jacksonville convenience store. Dunn fired 10 times into the vehicle that Dunn and three friends occupied. He was convicted of three counts of attempted second-degree murder at his original trial in February, but the jury deadlocked on a murder conviction. Dunn faces a mandatory life sentence.
A U.S. bankruptcy judge has ruled that water shutoffs for poor people in Detroit can continue. Thousands of people have rallied and confronted the Detroit Water and Sewer Department for mass water shutoffs since early this summer. The United Nations recently declared that access to water constitutes a human right and that the city of Detroit should not shut the water off. In response, Judge Stephen Rhodes said that there is no guaranteed human right to water. KBOO News reporter Kristen Yount spoke with Detroit activist Miko Williams about the ruling today.
Miko, I'm going to go ahead and let you explain what happened.
Yes, Kristen, thank you for having me. Yes, the Judge Stephen Rhodes of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court here in Detroit has ruled against the motion of stopping the water shutoffs here in the city of Detroit because he says that he does not have the authority to regulate a utility dealing with the utility laws in the state of Michigan that they could turn off the water, just as they cannot turn off he doesn't have the authority to rule that he could turn off the heat, that they could turn off other utilities in the state of Michigan. We find the Water Brigade finds a horrible, horrible reality that he has met with some of the people that we have brought him to. Two of our clients got to testify, and they were brought in as special plaintiffs.
So can you tell me about these corporate entities that haven't been paying their water bill?
The corporate entities are responsible for the bad debt that they are trying to reverse back on low-income and innocent Detroiters. For example, Mike Ilitch just had his Red Wing Arena groundbreaking ceremony last week, and this man still owes us over $80,000 from the Joe Louis Arena and also $60,000 from Comerica Park. These are two sports stadiums. Three of our biggest sports stadiums are still in debt, as well as the farmers market and the City of Detroit golf course, which is owned by the city. That's still being debated in bankruptcy court, and they're going to get pennies on the dollar. Michael Ilitch has said that he has paid his debt, but we do not see any documentation or any proof. There's also still businesses that owe money, but the businesses like the small mom-and-pop businesses that are residential businesses, actually, they're a separate class. Corporations are still being treated to people, and it's not fair, you know, that you would shut off people for as little as $75, but you won't shut off a person that owes $80,000. It's just unreal.
This judge actually came out and said water is not a human right. Did that happen?
Yes, it did, right in front of my face. I just could not believe that he would say something as such, and what was his reasoning for saying it? He did not give off a reason as to why he believed water was not a human right, and it's not a legally enforceable act. This is the same judge that imposed the Great Lakes Regional Authority, which is a quasi-body group of county executives and those that have vested interests in the water. This is all spearheaded by the governor, and the judge told the four county executives, including our mayor here in the city of Detroit, I'll impose this on you whether you like it or not, so you all better get it together. And when you have a judge that is telling you this and literally denying the people the right of the vote, the Michigan Constitution as well as the city of Detroit charter say that any sale or lease of its water system must be approved by the voters. And remember, we live in emergency management. Even if the emergency management was shipped out of here as of Monday, he still is around. He still is going to make the bankruptcy go smooth, and he still is going to impose his destruction on the city of Detroit. And when Judge Rhodes said that water was not a human right, I had to believe where this all come from. It came from that Great Lakes Regional Authority deal. It also came with him saying that he was not the judge that would legally enforce such an act. So that means that we're going to have to make an appeal, possibly go through, I heard a talk going to the governor to go after him, but why can't we be like Hong Kong right now in the United States of America, where we are being oppressed, we are being militarized for no apparent reason, and we're being disenfranchised in the same token. They have violated the UN order as well. The UN will be here in the next 2 weeks.
So that's Miko Williams with the Detroit Water Brigade, the After Party. Reporting for KBOO News, this is Kristen Yount.
The full audio of the interview with Miko Williams about Detroit water shutoffs can be heard on the website at kboo.fm/evening news.
Now, right now, is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us once again are David and Kristen to talk about how you can become a KBOO community radio supporter.
Hello, Aaron and Brian. Hello, all of you. Yes, you can become a member of KBOO. We're just asking for a small monetary contribution, and we have some people to thank. They just did that online, yeah?
They did. We had a few people who joined us by going to kboo.fm. That's kboo.fm. And they went up to the right-hand corner and clicked on the donation jar. I'd like to thank Dawn, Hyung, and Teresa, who all are from Portland and went to our website. You can also call us at 877-500-5266 to make your voice heard in support of community radio. And you make that, you make your voice heard by becoming a member. You become a member by making a financial contribution. It could be, oh, I don't know, $10 a month for the course of a year, $120, become a sustaining member. Too much? Okay. Maybe $5 a month. $60 over the year.
It's reasonable. Those things are reasonable. $5? $5, that's a coffee.
Yeah. One coffee a month. Could you get hold back on one a month to keep your community radio station on the air and strong and vibrant and coming to you each and every time you turn on your dial? 877-500-5266. We do want to make a big thank you to the businesses that are supporting us here during the drive. These restaurants have provided food, sustenance for us volunteers here to keep us happy and talking at you. So the Roxy at 1121 Southwest Stark, in the heart of the Glamour District since 1994, the RoxyDiner.com.
Also, for lunch, we had Cannon's Rib Express at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue. Serving hickory smoked barbecue, vegetarian fare, CannonsRibExpress.com.
And for dinner this evening, Russell Street Barbecue at 325 Northeast Russell. Russell Street Barbecue, committed to using sustainable meat, fish, and produce, offering a variety of sauces and sides, vegetarian options, beer, wine, full bar, RussellStreetBarbecue.com.
Grocery Getter Organic brought us a big box of healthy snacks. Grocery Getter Organic, specializing in home delivery of organic groceries. Independent and locally owned. More information on Grocery Getter at ggetter.com.
These businesses understand the value of a community radio station, and they are willing to give their goods, their services to us gratis, because they know that community radio is an important part of the Portland area. I dare say where Portland would be today had KBOO not been on the air for these past 46 years. Reflecting back onto the city, all the voices that are coming through town, all the events that are happening, all the news that's coming your way, the various communities happening, the music, the culture affairs, the news. This is what KBOO is about. It's about bringing the city onto the airwaves and letting it shine. 877-500-5266 is the number you can call to help us let it shine.
It's true. We have a local audience, and obviously we have to be in the city of Portland to volunteer on campus, but we have an international listenership. We just heard that report from Miko Williams from Detroit. KBOO has been following the plight of Detroit for the last, 6 months or so. And it's really important that we get these stories to our listeners, because it's important to know on the day-to-day what is happening in our country, in our world. And we do have a lot of listeners around the world, around the country. Shout out to Clackamas County right now, Clark County. We have Vancouver, Washington, and then not to mention Corvallis. So
call us toll-free from any of those places at 877-500-5266 or anywhere in the world at kboo.fm.
Facebook has reversed course on its policy requiring users to display their legal name on their profiles. The move had been roundly criticized by the LGBTQ community after drag queens and transgender people had been locked out of their account by the company. The social media giant announced their change of course this afternoon. Facebook last week saw several hundred thousand users flock to social media startup Elo, which says it will not sell user information or display ads.
Fighting has intensified in the Ukraine with pro-Russian rebels advancing on the airport in Donetsk. Reports out of the embattled nation indicate that the rebels are close to capturing the strategically important airport. 9 civilians were reported dead in fighting between the rebels and Ukraine's military. Ukraine ratified a ceasefire agreement on September 5th, ending months of tension between the government in Kiev and rebels supported by Russia. The status of that agreement is now uncertain. The Ukraine government held the airport throughout the six-month conflict with the rebels. If the airport is captured, it will offer the rebels an ability to airlift supplies into Donetsk. The Ukraine government held the airport throughout the six-month conflict with the rebels.
Protests continued in Hong Kong, China tonight, reaching their largest numbers. Today marks National Day in China, the day commemorating the anniversary of the beginning of the Communist Party's rule. Government officials attempted to carry on with National Day celebrations, but were met with boos by protesters. Protests exploded in the city last week as hundreds of thousands of protesters occupied the city center and were attacked by riot police wielding tear gas and water cannons. Protesters are demanding democratic reforms in Hong Kong, which the national government has refused to grant. Specifically, protesters want to vote on a city executive from the general population, whereas the pool of candidates who are voted on now is overseen by national leaders in Beijing. Protesters are also calling for the resignation of Hong Kong chief executive Leung Chun-ling. China's foreign minister, Wang Li, who was in Washington today, said the protests were illegal and called them an internal problem, while U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry urged restraint on behalf of the Chinese government.
And now the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imemc.org for Wednesday, October 1st, 2014. At least 20 Palestinian civilians kidnapped by Israeli troops during pre-dawn invasions all over the West Bank. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. The Israeli army has kidnapped on Wednesday at dawn at least 20 Palestinians in different parts of the occupied West Bank. Two of the kidnapped have been also shot and injured by the invading soldiers. Media sources in Tubas in the central West Bank have reported that soldiers invaded Al-Far'a refugee camp and kidnapped at least 6 Palestinians, including 2 who were shot by rubber-coated steel bullets. The invasions led to clashes between the soldiers and local youth. In the northern West Bank district of Jenin, the soldiers invaded Kabatia town, kidnapped 2 Palestinians and detained another at the Dutan road block. Also in Jenin district, a number of Israeli military vehicles invaded Deir Abu Da'if village and fired several gas bombs, concussion grenades and rounds of live ammunition. Many residents suffered the effects of tear gas inhalation. Furthermore, several armored military vehicles invaded Deir Balut town, west of the central West Bank city of Salfit, and abducted 4 Palestinians. Israeli soldiers also invaded Kraut Bani Hassan village near Salfit, violently broke into several homes and took 6 Palestinians, all members of the Fatah movement. In the meantime, in the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem, undercover forces of the Israeli military infiltrated into the conference palace in the city and kidnapped one of the employees there. In addition, soldiers also abducted a Palestinian from Al-Dhahriya town south of the southern West Bank city of Hebron as he was crossing the container roadblock east of the occupied East Jerusalem. In related news, the Hebron office of the Palestinian Prisoner Society, PPS, has reported that the Israeli army kidnapped 165 Palestinians, including 40 children, from the southern West Bank district of Hebron in September and imposed high fines on many detainees. Staying in Hebron district, the Israeli army invaded the village of Jad'on, searched homes and handed residents demolishing orders to water cisterns. According to local residents, the cisterns are used by sheep herders. The army gave the residents 1 week to challenge the Israeli army orders. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, October 1st, 2014 News Roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Banoura.
In the latest news from U.S.-occupied Afghanistan, new Afghan President Ashraf Ghani signed a security pact with the U.S. yesterday to keep up to 10,000 NATO troops stationed in the country at the end of this year's expected formal end to combat operations there. That agreement lasts until 2024. And two suicide bombers struck in Kabul today, targeting buses carrying Afghan soldiers. Seven people were killed and 21 were wounded. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Kristen Yount, Jessica Abel, and David Lessem. The producer is Mike Klepfer. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7 it's Democracy Now! With award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Voices from the Edge welcomes back Greg Palast, who has been called the most important investigative reporter of our time, up there with Woodward and Bernstein. That's from The Guardian. We also welcome back regular host Joanne Hardesty. At 9, it's Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Per Fagering speaks with Tom Engelhardt about his new book, Shadow Government, Surveillance, Secret Wars, and a Global Security State in a Single Superpower World. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Nyman interviews David Mitchell, one of the most celebrated authors of his generation, after his book Cloud Atlas. His new novel is Bone Clocks. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk presents an archival interview with author J. California Cooper, who died September 20th.
Coming up next is Treasures from the KBOO Archive. But first, we go back to Kristen and David, who talked to us about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in all of Oregon.
And you can support us now by dialing 877-500-5266. We are in the very first day of our fall membership drive. We've had a really good response from you, our audience. You know that you're listening because only here at KBOO will you get the kind of in-depth local reporting that you hear at the news. Only here at KBOO will you get the kind of focus on what's going on around the world like Amy Goodman provides at Democracy Now! Only here at KABU. We get specials on climate change like we had throughout the day today with guests such as Naomi Klein. This is what community radio is all about. And you've been with us today and supporting us today because you understand the value of this station. 877-500-5266. We are so close to our goal,
so
Kristen. And we want them to call when?
Right now.
When do we want them to call?
Right now.
Okay. And why should they call?
Why shouldn't they call? I can't think of one reason why they should not call. They should be calling and calling. We are so close to our goal for this hour. We're like so close.
So close. I mean, we are, I'll put it this way. The basic KABU membership is $40 for 1 year. If someone could call us right now.
Right now.
Right now at 877-500-5266. I'll slow it down. 877-500-5266. I get excited because we're so close. That $40 membership would take us above our goal.
Yeah, we really want to be above our goal. We go beyond what's necessary to bring you the news every day. Why don't you just go beyond
what's necessary?
Well, it is necessary, but why don't you go above and beyond the necessary and help us close this gap on our goal? Nowhere else will you hear about how the Morro Pacific Coal Export Terminal was opposed and how the that endeavor was completely crushed and squashed because people were able to organize and speak out against it. And it's because they heard about it where?
Right here at KABU.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And earlier today, of course, you know, we had the climate change special. And if you were at work or busy and you couldn't tune in, we've got a deal for you.
Such a deal.
For a $15 a month subscription to KABU, and, you know, $15 a month, if you spread it out over the course of the year, well, you know, it's two or three coffees, it's maybe don't go to a movie. $15 a month to your community radio station gets you all this. It gets you a flash drive with all the programming that you missed today, including Naomi Klein, George Marshall, Corey Morningstar, and more. Also, a bonus DVD of the movie Disruption. Also, a seed packet for attracting pollinators to your garden. Also, a tree planted in your name by the Friends of the Trees. Also, a subscription to Yes Magazine. And to top it all off, you get a KABU membership.
And that's worth it right there. But for $15 a month, yes, you can get the Climate Change Action Pack for today only. And I just want to mention that I was here earlier, and Naomi Klein was here at KABU. She came here to talk to us. Why? Because we know. We're in the know. And she thinks that our work is important enough for her to come down here. She's a busy woman, but she made the time to come down here and talk to us and talk to all of you because KABU is important, and the work that we do here is important. So get involved and become a member now. 877-500-5266.
Or KBOO.FM. Or come to the studios at 20 Southeast 8th. We'll show you around. You can see that we do not squander your money. It's not like fancy furniture and gold-plated toilet seats or any of that stuff.
True. There's a hole in my chair because I care.
877-500-5266. We've got some treasures from the KABU archives coming your way at 6 o'clock, I believe. KABU's been on the air now for 46 years. 46 years. Imagine all that cumulative information and knowledge stored away, reflected back, brought back to you. It's the community and it's the growth, it's the change. And I've been in KABU in Portland for a long time and part of KABU for a long time, and I often wonder, you know, where our city would be today if it weren't for a community radio station, for a place that allowed, not just allowed, but encouraged such a variety of people to come down and share their culture, their information, their passions.
And their concerns. You know, I come down here because I'm concerned with what's going on in the world, and I want to be a sounding board for things that concern me, things that make me think and wonder why. Why are these things happening? And, you know, being able to share that and broadcast it, and, you know, there's not a day that goes by when someone doesn't call and say, hey, I have a great idea for the news tonight. And we always listen to them. We always listen to the news tips that we get. And if you have a problem, we have a problem too. So why don't you help us bring our problems to the surface and talk about them?
Call 877-500-5266. It won't be a problem at all. You get to talk to a volunteer. They'll be friendly. They'll be polite. They'll say, hey, thanks for calling KABU. How much would you like to contribute tonight? We'd like to make you a member. We'd like to have you join the KABU family. But you have to take that first step. You took the first step already because you're listening to KABU. Next step is becoming a member. And Kristen, I got to say from experience that KABU sounds better when you're a member.
I've heard that.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because you know it's yours. It's partly your station, and you are helping to make it happen.
Yeah, it feels good to be part of something.
Totally. 877-500-5266. Be a part of the KABU family. Make that contribution today, right now. We do need that. We're just inches away, centimeters away, millimeters away from our goal for this program, for the KABU News this evening. The volunteers work really hard to put the show together for you today. Let them know that you care with a contribution. 877-500-5266.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
KABU is proud to co-sponsor the Friends of Jordan 5K and Kids Run, Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. Friends of Jordan is an organization that provides support for families as they go through the trials of serious childhood illness. This fun run and walk will raise funds for Adult in Reno, a 22-month-old from Salem. Again, that's the Friends of Jordan 5K and Kids Run on Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. at Forest Grove High School, 1401 Nichols Lane in Forest Grove. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the home page under Community Events.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland. Up next is Treasures from the Archive. We remember Judy Berry.